Hello, you're listening to Spirit Life Teachings with T. Jason Price, founder of Power for Freedom Ministries. Check out full sermons, encouraging words, and more on our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and website, all linked in our show notes. Now, here's T. Jason Price.
And we're going to pray and dive into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the call, the gift on each and every one of us. We thank you, God, for your patience and your mercy and your grace in our life. We ask that our ears would open, that our eyes would be open, that our heart would be ripe to hear you tonight, that, Father, we would grow and mature into who you called us to be. Lord, we ask that you would speak deep to our heart, that we would become the vessel, the servant that you've called us to be in your kingdom. Father, we pray that you're with us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. Oh, I see Madeline and Sarah. It's good to see you. And I'm sure more of you will hop on. I'm trying to check in as we go. But turn with me, to Colossians 3:23. We want to look at a couple verses here about using your gift and using your gift. Should you use your gift and stand out, or should you use your gift to the level of the people around you? Now, this comes up a lot, questions to me. The ministry, and I want to address it because it is important, because apparently there's a little bit of confusion whether we are to use our gift to the fullness God gave us, or if we're supposed to water down, I guess that would be a term you would use, or maybe not use it to the ability you have. So we want to make sure that as leaders, and I'm assuming that as you're using your gift, you are leading. What I mean by that is there's people watching you. You don't have to be behind a pulpit to be a leader. You're a leader of your home, you're a leader at work, you're a leader in your everyday life. If people are watching you and you're leading by example as a Christian, you're a leader. You say, well, you are. You're leading someone, that makes you a leader. And a real leader is not the first person in a line. A leader is someone that God has called to lead people. We want to make sure we understand that difference, because we could be the first person in the line going the wrong direction. So we want to make sure as a leader, we are not just a first person line, but that we are stepping out and we are embracing what God has for our life. Okay. So turn with me to Colossians 3 in verse 23. Hey, I see CJ hopped on there as well. In Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Jesus. And I know you know this. We're going to look at a couple different verses in this, but I know that our gifts are from God, right? We're not going to get into where they come from. We've done Spirit Life on this. And so we know we have a gift from God. We know everyone has a call in your life. And whatever we do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. We're not supposed to do it as unto people, but as unto the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each one has received a gift. Minister to one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. You hear that? Let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So it's telling us that we're supposed to do this with the ability that God has given us, okay? That God has supplied. It doesn't mean that we do this with the ability that people have given us, but we do this with the ability that God has given us. So if God's given you the ability, there's a requirement on your life to do it according to how God has given you the gifting. Let's use worship, for example. All right. Now, all these, we're going to say, well, I know. So they can be a little touchy, but we got to use examples that we can relate to. So worship for the first example, not the only example, but the first example. Let's say that you have an amazing gift as a musician, and you can play your instrument, and you put time into it, you put effort into it, you put practice into it. Obviously, we know it's a gift of God, so we've got to give God credit. So you have all this ability, and you've really disciplined yourself to be good at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. All we should do wholeheartedly to the Lord. I'm sure some of you have heard that we should strive for excellence when we're serving God, excellence in ministry, excellence in what we're doing for God. So you're up there and you're playing, and I'm not picking on one, just use an example. And let's say there's someone there who can't really play their instrument very well. And so you don't play yours well because you don't want to overshadow, or you don't want to look like you're standing out. You don't want to look like you are trying to show off. And so you don't use it well. You play back, I guess you would say. Like, you don't play it to your ability. And let's say that you are doing a Bible study, and your week is the second week, and you just followed somebody who in the first week wasn't that deep. And, you know, they don't study every day. They're not reading their Bible every day. And it was kind of evident in the teaching. And so now it's your turn, and you don't want to show off. You don't want to be like, oh, look at me. I'm standing out. Look at these deep revelations I have. And so you kind of water it back. Let's say you're at a conference and you're the third or fourth speaker, and the guy or the woman before you, whoever was speaking, they just didn't really do their diligence in studying or, getting prepared for it. And you took time and you're reading your Bible and you're fasting and spending time with God. And, you know, you kind of hold back because you don't want to over preach them. Say you're at a prayer meeting and, you know, you have a disciplined life in prayer and you pray a lot and you're building yourself a lot and it's your turn to pray. And so, you know, you're lack of better words, just letting it rip, you're praying. And you don't want to pray all the way out loud because there's people there who aren't, you know, praying like that. And you don't want to feel like you're taking the show or overstepping them or whatever. And this happens a lot in the Christian world because we want to be kind to each other. We want to be supportive of each other. We want to make sure we encourage one another. And we always, want to promote people to use their gifts and grow. We also want to promote using our gifts to the ability that God has given you and the gifting that God has given you. But there comes a responsibility with that. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. I see Michelle's on there. All right, I see a couple more while you're turning to 1 Corinthians 15. I see my lovely wife, Jenny, and Sasha. How are you doing? So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. This is Paul saying, "For I am the least of the apostles and not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God." Well, Paul's saying, I'm the least of the apostles. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me did not prove vain." In other words, his grace in my life did not return void. It didn't become nothing. All right. "But I labored," listen, "I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me." In other words, there's a grace on his life to do what he's doing. He said he's the least of the apostles. And you know, he's saying that because while Jesus was on the earth, he was persecuting the Christians and Jesus was on the earth. So, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, I'm not like the other guys because they were all with you. And here I am trying to put him in prison while you're on earth. So I can connect that. And I know some of you weren't Christians as long as other people were Christians. And a lot of people say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years and you just started yesterday. Well, that might be true. I don't know when you started, or maybe last week. I don't know. But the point of it is, Paul said, I labored even more than all of them. Like, not me, but I'm just saying the grace of God in my life for the calling, it pushed me to labor, to pursue more. So back to the worship, you could have been worshiping for 20 years. It doesn't mean you're playing your guitar or practicing. It means you maybe only did it because of worship and only on the time you're worshiping. That's it, no other time. We'll go to the Bible study. All right, you may have been doing Bible study for 10 years longer than someone else, but that doesn't mean that you labored more than them, that you tried and that you were, you know, reading your Bible and praying and really seeking counsel and studying on your own. Maybe you're a conference speaker and you weren't the most seasoned as far as years conference speaker, but you're praying, you're fasting, you're reading your Bible, you're studying, you're getting counsel. We can't just say to ourselves that because people are willing to what Paul said, labor even more. They're willing to be disciplined. They're willing to really, by the grace of God, embrace the gift on their life, that they are to be held back to the, I don't want to say it this way, but you know what I mean, like the lowest standard of whatever capacity of ministry they're in. Where one, nobody will grow. Nobody will ever grow. Because if we go by the lowest standard, and I know it sounds rough, I understand that, but if we go by the lowest standard, then we will all stay there, right? We won't be the first, we won't be a leader, we'll be the first person in line, all just going in a circle on this level. But if we actually become these leaders and we step out and we lead and we show what a fasted life can do, a disciplined life can do, a reading your Bible life, a spending time with God, an intimacy with the Lord, receiving counsel and actually embracing the counsel and moving towards that counsel. If we show the world that what disciplined Christianity is, as Paul did. I labored even more. And I say the world because, you know, disciplined Christians, we are the ones that are out there pushing. We're out there trying to get people to come up. Like Paul said, you know, I press on towards the high call. And Paul's saying, not that I've arrived, but he's pressing in. He's pressing in. And he's telling us there's more. There's always more with God, not like a special secret anointing, but there's more understanding. There's more relationship. There's more intimacy. We need to labor even more than all the rest. And when we do that, we use our gifts that God has given us. And what's going to happen is you're going to pray different if you're praying 3 hours a day compared to someone who's praying 3 hours a year. That's just the way it is. You're going to preach different if you're reading your Bible 3 hours a day compared to someone reading it 3 hours a year. You're going to do everything different if you are spending time connected with God, right? Connected with God. The other part of this we want to look at is that, you know, because we have this idea that if someone has a unction in them, like a desire from the Holy Spirit, that they should be a part of something, that it gives us the responsibility to get them in that position. Well, it does, but God called Paul, we read it here, and he said, if not worthy of it, because he persecuted the church, but he said that by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more. So Paul's doing something. He knew he was called, but he's doing something. People, having a call is, you know, important to recognize, but we've got to do something. We've got to do our part. You can't just pick up your instrument on the morning of your, you know, your worship set. You can't just read your Bible on the morning of your preaching. You shouldn't just start praying on the morning of the prayer meeting. You've got to live a life and labor in these things by the grace of God. And it should be by the grace of God. In other words, it shouldn't be hard for you. It shouldn't be a burden for you. It should be by the grace of God that you want to pursue what God has for you. And no one, you know, should feel bad about that. Like, we shouldn't be making anyone feel bad that you're taking the time and doing this. We shouldn't make anyone feel bad that you're reading your Bible, that you're pursuing God, that you're actually, you know, doing the work because you feel, you know, the conviction of the Lord on your life with your call. You feel the grace of God with your call, and you take it serious. And you're honored that God would call you. There's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes there's too many of people out there who have the call in their life and really do a lot of work in that calling, and they feel like they shouldn't use it. And, you know, my question is, then who's it for? Because it's not for you and just your quiet time. If the Lord gives you the favor of the Lord and the favor of man, Jesus grew in the favor of the Father and the favor of man, as you grow in that, it's because the Lord is expanding your spiritual territory, your spiritual atmosphere around you is growing. And he's doing that because God is using you. And as he uses you, we are expected, right, that we would grow and mature. I mean, Ephesians, the whole part of the ascension gifts, the fivefold, are to equip the church. So we should be equipping. We should be getting matured. We should not be what we were 6 months ago. We shouldn't be what we were a year ago. We should be constantly growing and maturing into who God has called us to be. So when we're doing that and growing and maturing, you know what's going to happen? You're going to look like you're growing and you're going to look like you're maturing. And if others around you aren't, it's not that you're passing them as like it's a race or something. But Paul said, what athlete gets into a race and trains and doesn't do it to win? Like, who doesn't do that? If you're going to take the time to train and run in a race, you race to win. You're not racing to lose. We are in the kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I can speak for myself on this. I'm not in the kingdom to lose. I'm not in the kingdom to go backwards. I'm not in the kingdom to become worse. I'm not in the kingdom to have spiritual attacks in my life that I can't overcome, to have problems I can't overcome. I'm not in the kingdom moving forward with God so I can have sleepless nights and be beat up all the time. I want to press towards that high call. I want to keep growing, keep maturing. I want to see victory in my life. I want to overcome the things that happen. And if I surround myself with people who want to stay in that place, then I'll stay in that place. But I don't believe that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God where he wants us to lower ourselves to the ability of man or the the people who refuse to do the work of ministry, we are called and to press in towards the high call, to grow with the Lord, to gain intimacy and maturity and become the person God's called us to be. If you're a worship person, you know, you practice and you give it your labor. You put your time, your energy, your heart into it. If you're called to preach, then you preach, but you preach from a point of you labored and you read the word and you pursued counsel, you fast, you did all the things that the Lord has required of you to do that. If you're taught to study the Bible and be a teacher, then study your Bible, not just on the day you're supposed to do it. Study your Bible. You know, the parable of the fig tree always comes to mind to me when I talk about people and their gifts and how we're supposed to interact in the kingdom. And one of the things that, you know, I glean from that story where Jesus is walking up to it and he sees the leaves on the fig tree, and the leaves were a sign supposed to be in season. And he goes up to grab a fig and there's no fig. There's no fig. So we know he curses the tree and they walk by it again and it's dead. And Jesus tells us the only thing in scripture that I find that we are allowed to judge on is the fruit. We're allowed to judge by the fruit, right? In a manner in which we judge, we will be judged. So I judge by fruit because I'm okay being judged by fruit, because biblically, I believe we are sound in doctrine biblically to judge by fruit. There should be the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. There should be the fruit of the love of the Lord in our life. People should see the fruit of God in our life. They should be seeing the fruit of our relationship with God. In other words, we should look like Christians without having to say it. Our life should show we're Christians without having to tell people we're a Christian. They should be able to hear it in the way we pray, the way we read our Bible. In other words, they should know, wow, you spend time reading your Bible. Wow, you spend time praying. Yeah, the fruit of our life. And so we can just walk it and act like it and never really be it. Absolutely. I mean, we can have an image of God and, you know, a form of godliness, but deny his power. We can do that. There's lots of things we can do to look churchy, right? I guess that's a word. We, you know what I mean by that? Like, we look like we're good Christian people going to church, but at home or everywhere else, we are able, I don't understand it really, but by the grace of God, we're able to present an absolute life of hypocrisy in Christianity. I know that came off harsh, but we are able to do that. And it would be nice, you know, maybe not, if God would say, hey, you can't do that, you hypocrite. He would call us out on it and we would have to change and grow up. But, and I know, you know, I mean, you're on social media now. There's some people here watching us and commenting. And there's people on YouTube and, you know, podcasts. And so I'm not the only guy on tonight doing videos. There's people all over the place doing them. And some of these people are good Christian, solid people. And some just have a form of godliness and they're saying the things, but they're not actually doing it. Well, if we stick with that and we stay around that kind of stuff, we will have to bring our gift down. I know what you're saying. Well, what does this have to do with using our gift to the fullness? Because it forces people, including us, to keep pressing on towards that high call. It forces people to look themselves in the mirror and say, why am I not growing? Why is my prayer life not changing? Why is my Bible knowledge not changing? Why is my understanding not changing? In other words, why is my life not getting better? Why am I not seeing victories? Why am I still beat up by the same things I was a year ago? Well, for a lot of people, the reason why is because you keep hanging out with people who aren't growing, or you go to as my friend would say, a dumb dead church. In other words, a church that's not teaching anything. There's no life in it at all. And it's just not helping you. And unfortunately, there are some churches out there who their goal is entertainment, your feelings and emotion, and there's no, urgency of growth in them. You're not going to grow there. You may feel good there, but you won't grow there. And there's videos that tell you how great you are and that you don't need to mature or do anything, but you won't mature and do anything. You'll stay right where you're at. The gospel is challenging. The gospel of Jesus Christ is convicting. The gospel is not for people of weak faith. It's not for people that are passive. It's not for people who are easily discouraged. The gospel takes a lot of, on our part, of faith and perseverance and just pressing on and never giving up and learning to fight the good fight of faith. You know, the gospel is presented as something that we just do to the level in which is around us. And then whenever we see someone come out or we see a video or a ministry that launches or something happens where it seems like someone's really, you know, out there for God, we all get amazed and we make superstars of ministry. But we are all supposed to be growing continuously and maturing and pushing ourselves into that place. None of us should be where we were last year. None of us should be where we were 2 years ago. None of us should be where we were a month ago. Now, I'm not saying you won't have struggles that take some time, but we should be growing and maturing. Find a person who is using their gift to God in the fullness that they have, the current ability to that God has given them, right? In the faith that they have understanding in, that have labored, they have labored and pursued it. And Paul said, even more than all of them. I mean, what a very blunt statement, right? But labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. And that means you'll stay humble. It means you won't get arrogant. You won't get a big head about how mature you are, how great you are, because you'll know it's all God. But find those people and connect with them. Find those churches and connect with them. Find those ministries and connect with them. And if you're blessed enough to be on a worship team and there's someone who's a lot better than you, don't get discouraged. Learn, grow, get input in your life. If you're blessed to really leave in a Bible study and you're not as good, and I know it's not a competition, but we all want to do things to the excellence or the working of God in our life. Why would you not want to grow in your ability to worship? It would be odd if you didn't want to grow in how you worship God and how you lead others. Why would you not want to grow in your biblical understanding? That's not humility to stay low. That's false humility. And it's an excuse to, in my opinion, to be lazy and not have to grow. We as leaders, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We have got to set an example of what is achievable by biblical laboring with the tools and the grace that God has given us. So if you're doing a Bible study and someone has understanding that you may not have yet, go hang out with them, sit down with them, you know, learn from them, ask them questions. I was telling a story today. When I was in my 20s, the Lord had put a man in my life that was speaking into my life, and we were going on a trip to New York. And if he was watching or listening now, he would tell you about it. And I said, hey, I have a thousand questions to ask you. And from New York up and back, I bet you I didn't stop asking that man questions. And God bless him. He didn't get annoyed with me, but I did. I had 1,000 questions. I wanted to become and grow a mature Christian man. I wanted to lead my family different. I wanted to pray different. I wanted to understand my Bible different. I wanted to preach different. I wanted to teach different. I wanted to prophesy different. I wanted to grow. I wanted to grow. I was blessed to have other men in my life. And every time I got around them, yes, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like, man, I start all back in elementary school is what it felt like. And I was hanging out with college guys. And I would stay there as long as the Lord would allow it. And what I mean by that, as long as there was a grace there and they were willing to speak into my life, and I would just let them push me and grow and grow and grow. And when it was time, I'm still friends with all these men. But when it was time, the Lord would put another one. And I'd feel like I start all over back at elementary. And I would grow, grow, grow. And so there's nothing wrong with that. I've been at conferences where I preach and thought, man, these people are way, way more mature than I have. Now, I'm never saying I've arrived, and none of us do. We all press in. But, you know, I have felt where I was way, shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't deserve to be on that. And I've been places where I've got the opportunity to help people to learn how to present and understand the gospel better. So I've been on both sides, but I'm honest to tell you, you know, being on the one where there's a pull in your life and you can press in towards that and grow, that's my favorite. I love seeing what God can do in the lives of others. I love seeing what I have not yet arrived to, but they demonstrate it is possible. And I know God doesn't have a favorite, and I know he's not a respecter of persons. So I know if he does it for them, he'll do it for me. And when I get around those men, it encourages me. It doesn't frustrate me. And I don't want them to lower down to my level. I want them to keep going so I can press into what they're doing. But if they come to where I am, I'm not going to grow. And what is attractive to me about that is not that I idol these men, is that the scripture is true. But, you know, it doesn't seem to always be true to you. You know what I mean by that? When I was a young man, I was a father at 18. I started when I was 17. You know, you read the Bible about these promises of being a dad and all this stuff, And I'm telling you, 18 years old being a dad, some of these truths in the Bible did not seem like truth. I know they are, but they weren't to me. And you'd hang out with these men that have matured in that. And it was like the confidence that, you know what? The Bible is true. I'm not there yet. Do you see the difference? Not that the Bible isn't true, that I'm not there yet. So you have a gift. Wherever you go to church this week, you use your gift. Now don't get show off and weird. Use your gift to the ability God's given you, by the grace God has given you, to the amount that you've labored in it. And you let people see what is possible through Jesus Christ, through his anointing, through your laboring and working, and let them see the gospel is true. Let them see it. Just because we've seen abuse in these things doesn't mean that they're wrong. Okay. If you're broke, hang out with someone who's learned how to take the biblical principles of finances and use them in their life. It doesn't do any good if you're going to be broke with everyone else. Let's show them the Bible principles for finances work. Get around that person and then become a millionaire. Become a 100 millionaire. It don't matter to me. Become as rich as God wants you to be and bless others with it. Bless others. If you are hanging out with someone who is preaching and they're preaching above your ability, go learn. Hang out with them. Learn how to preach, how to rightfully use the word of God and to understand it biblically and ground it. And then keep growing till you fill a stadium with people and bring souls in for the kingdom. We are kingdom building. That's our job. We're not man-pleasing. We're kingdom building. The goal in kingdom building is for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to be revealed to this world. Now, there's never going to be an amount of people that is enough. Hear me on this. Churches and people say that all that church is about is numbers. Numbers, number, numbers, attendance, attendance, attendance. Well, a lot of them are that way because that is their job, to reach the lost. So they care how many people come because that's how many people they're reaching. Why would you not want 100, 200, 300, 1,000, 5,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 people? It's not arrogance. It's your job. You're a kingdom builder. Reach as many people as you can. Do you want to get to heaven and tell the Lord, well, you know, I got to 1,000 and I thought it was good? Why wouldn't you want to tell him you reached the world? I mean, I know it's the big goal, but you know what I mean? Like, why would you say I was a worship leader or a worshiper and I didn't want to outplay everyone around me? Yeah, but there's worship people that fill stadiums for God and do calls to repentance and lead people to Jesus Christ. There's Bible teachers that have written books that have changed people's life. There's TV evangelists that have been on when I was a kid that I'd stay up late at night and watch them, and I'd lay my hand on the TV and they blessed me. Why would you not want to keep growing? Just because there's abuses in them. I know there is abuse in television. There is abuse in finances. There is abuse in people leading people astray. I understand there is abuse in those things, but there's abuse in everything. We're just kind of choosy on which abuse we're going to use for an excuse, aren't we, if we're honest with ourselves? I mean, we all have bad experiences eating. I know you've heard this before, but it's not like we stopped going out to dinner. We've all heard that there's bad experience with children, but yet we still have them. There's bad experience with parents, but yet we still believe that there should be parents. There's bad experience in a marriage, but we still get married. There's bad experiences at work, but we still do. I mean, there's always a reason to say that this is the reason I don't do it. But we can't look at the negatives and let the negative be what guides or dictates our life in the kingdom. We're kingdom builders. We're not negative dwellers. We're kingdom builders. That's what we do. Use your gift. Use it to the full potential God has given you. Use it to everything God has given you. Don't hold back. Now, be respectful. I'm not going to get me in trouble this week at your church, but don't hold back on what God's given you. Set the bar where God has given you the grace and call others to that. And you keep laboring even more than all the rest of them. And keep pressing in. Don't ever let the gift of God become watered down in your life, compromise your life, to make others feel okay about not growing. Did you hear that? Don't ever want you to be the reason somebody feels okay about not growing. You tell them Jason said, hey, I'm supposed to be the reason that you want to keep moving up. Not comfortable that we're not growing. I'm not ever telling you, and the Bible won't tell you, to call people to a lower level. Paul said, we strive towards a high call in God, not the low call, the high call. You challenge people with the gifting that God's given you, with the grace God's given you, with compassion, with mercy, with love, with all the things required, and you labor even more than all of them, like 1 Corinthians 15:10. And you say to the Lord, I am doing this unto you, not unto men. May your mercies, may your anointing, may your favor rest upon me. May your grace enable me to keep going. And may I reach as many people as you have called me to reach. Now, if you're in a church or a ministry and they've got things they want you to do, I want you to believe it's because they care about you. And if you think it's not for that, and I want you to pray about it and ask the Lord if it's time to move on or stick around or find out. But go have a conversation with the pastor or a leader. Find out. Don't just give your life up to something that you don't believe in. You only have one of these. Now, I get myself in trouble every time I say things like this, but you only have one of them. And we don't live to please man. We live to please God. We live to kingdom build. And we want to be around people that will help us. Now, are there requirements and stuff? Well, sure there is. But that's because they're doing to protect us. They care about us. They're trying to make sure that we don't put a novice in office. There's all these good reasons. We can do a teaching on it. If you're interested, just let me know. But don't let these things be a roadblock in your life. Don't become rebellious. Don't become a show-off. Don't become arrogant. Just do what God has given you to the best of your ability and help set that bar wherever you go to church to a little bit higher than where it was, and let people be excited that the word of God is actually real. Be a witness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. I hope this helped you. If you have any questions about it, reach out to the ministry. I see my buddy Daryl's on there. Good to see you. And Nancy, I can't see all of you, but I can stroll through and see a couple of you. It's good to see you. You know, I pray that all of you embrace that you only have one life. This is it. And so you gotta get out there and use it. And we've got to do it biblically. But at the same time, you know, you've got to do the labor. You got to be biblical, but you got to labor and do the work. God's not going to come down and do it for you. You've got to do it. And if you want it, if it's your desire, then go after it. Go after it with everything you have. There's no level that God is holding you to because of a man. None. We are the only reason we don't grow. Remember that. We can blame other people. We can blame churches or whatever. We are the only reason we don't grow. I want you to remember that. Write it down. Stick it somewhere in your house. Wake up tomorrow and say, huh, I wonder why I'm not growing. Oh, that's right. I am the reason. I am the only reason. No one can stop you from growing. Only you can. You can choose how you handle conflicts. You can choose how you handle being upset. You can choose how you handle all these things. It is your ability to choose. It's your ability in you to press into God, to read your Bible, to pray. No one can take that from you. I don't care what church story you have or what ministry story or what's going on in your life. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody. It's your decision. You press in and you give God every ounce of your labor, everything you have, and I assure you that you will grow. You will grow. And make sure you surround yourself with people who are in the kingdom building mindset and the moving forward, not going backwards. All right. I want to pray with you before we hop off here, but thank you for joining us. Again, go to pffministries.org. You can join with us as a partner there. You can join with us financially. Go right to the tab. We appreciate you sharing these videos, the YouTube subscription, and the podcast. Thank you very much. We couldn't do this without you. For those supporting us with prayer, keep them coming. The Lord is opening doors. We need more of it. And for those of you supporting us financially, God bless you. You know, this is good soil. I pray the Lord returns that 100,000-fold, 1,000,000-fold into your life and blesses you. Let me pray with you, and we'll get into really pursuing the laboring of our calling and using it for God with everything that you have. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you would speak into our heart, that you would open up our minds and just let us receive this teaching so it would filter down into our being, that we would understand that, God, you're the one that called us, you gifted us, you've given us this ability, whatever it is. There's something in all of us that we can use in your kingdom. And may we surround ourselves with men and women are going to call us to that higher level, push us into those things, that we will see the truth of the gospel alive and working in someone's life, knowing that you're not a respecter of persons, knowing that we are able to be there as well and to grow and mature. And may we all press on towards that high call and never settle for the fear of man or trying to please man. May we never be comfortable being the first person in line as a leader, but may we always pursue kingdom building and understanding the honor, the privilege it is to be a part of that building. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Sunday, the 11th, I will be in Windsor. Tuesday is Freedom Journey. And I want to remind you to follow our page. If you have not gone up and hit like on our Facebook page, hit like on our Facebook page. Also, I can see some of you here. I want you to keep commenting. Thank you very much for that. Share the videos to your friends and family. And as always, keep us in prayer. That's probably the most important. But thank you for our social media and how we're growing because of all of you. We appreciate it. And until we meet again, you keep pressing in. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of PFFM Spirit Life Teachings. If you have any questions or comments, need prayer, or just want to reach out, please call or text 717-537-PFFM or email us at info@pffministries.org. God bless.